throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you're listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We want to take just a moment to make sure we invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. If you are in the area and you do not have a regular church home, we'd love for you to come by. We are located 1 mile on Baird's Creek Road. That is off of Highway 105 South, just outside of the Boone city limits. And we are 1 mile, or we are just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, the Willow Creek Resort area, and the little nine-hole golf course there. And we're just above that on Baird's Creek Road. We have Sunday school on every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages. And then at 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m., and then every Wednesday night at 7. And we're currently preaching through, teaching through the book of Mark. So we'd love for you to come be with us, and you would certainly be made to feel at home. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us today. And I appreciate him helping on the radio. How's it going today?
It's going well, and I'm glad to be here. We do want to say welcome to all those listening in, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we count it a great privilege to be back one more time. We have been doing a series entitled What I Can Do for My Country, and we're just continuing right along with thoughts about that, what I can do for my country. And just by way of quick review, what we've said already, and we started this back in August, but we began with prayer. And that is what the Bible says that we should do for our country, is first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplications be made for all men, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And it talks about prayer in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says, first of all. And so what can we do? Well, first, we need to pray for our nation, for our leaders. And then we talked about the power of the gospel. The gospel changes hearts and lives and minds. The gospel changes society. The gospel can change a whole country. And Paul said, and I don't know that I'm sure I've noticed this, but I was looking at it again today in Romans chapter number 1. And Paul is talking over there about a nation that had, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but were unthankful. And it goes on down and talks about how they had turned the image of the true God into, they'd started worshiping four-footed beasts and creatures and all of these things. And so they'd really gone a long ways from where they should have been. But Paul, he begins that chapter not by talking about how bad the country was, but he begins talking about the power of the gospel. And he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So before he talks about the situation of a nation, he talks about the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we talked about we ought to pray. We ought to obey the Great Commission, which is getting the gospel out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We talked about how important churches are. We looked biblically and gave some historical examples of the good influence of churches. And I know people will talk about the bad in history. And most of the time when they're talking about things that have gone on under the banner of religion or done in the name of Jesus Christ, they're not actually talking about local churches. They're talking about religious establishments. And there is a huge difference between the two. But we talked about the local church, the little church in the community that is salt and light there, and how important that is. And then we went on and we talked about last week, beginning the subject of a model citizen. And we began in Romans chapter number 13, which we actually backed up into chapter number 12. But today we're going to begin in chapter 13, verse number 1, where the Apostle Paul said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And notice he said, "Let every soul," every person, every individual is what that means. Doesn't matter what their rank or station is in life, from the president on down through the ranks to the lowest peasant. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I had to rush last week, but that's the thought that I was finishing up with. And we posed the question, the higher powers, is that referring to people or is that referring to the law? Is that referring to individuals that are elected when it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers"? Are the higher powers the kings, the presidents, the congressmen, the judges, the, you know, just insert in there whatever you think. But is that talking about the actual people, or is that talking about the law and the law of the land? The Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. And we dealt with this last week in context of the scripture. Paul was imprisoned by the Romans. He was eventually put to death in Rome for his faith. But Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, what this is referring to is the law of the land that is in agreement with the law of God. That is what the higher powers are. He said, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." God never ordained an unjust law. But all the laws that are just, all the laws that are in agreement with the law of God, they are ordained by God. They are to be obeyed by every soul. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, I want to talk just a little bit today about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, if you know anything about him, he was trained in the law. In fact, we could say that he was a lawyer. He was definitely qualified. He knew the law as a Jew. And he knew the law of the Gentiles as well. Now, being in Jerusalem, Jerusalem was under dominion by the Romans. And so he was an expert not only in the Jewish law, but he was also an expert in the Roman law. He was a Roman. He was raised a Roman citizen. So he knew the Jewish law and he knew the Gentile laws. If you study about the life of the Apostle Paul, as we read in the book of Acts, you will find out that he knew the law in great detail, and he exerted his rights under the law more than one time. We see the Apostle Paul. Now, this would be a great study for somebody that was studying the law, maybe to be a lawyer or in that field. To just study out the Apostle Paul and how he used the law to his advantage, how he knew the law, how he knew his rights, and how he exercised his rights under the law. And we see the Apostle Paul from about Acts chapter number 22, actually go back before that, but specifically beginning in Acts chapter number 22, we see that over and over again, Paul makes his case before different people. We see that Paul makes his case before a multitude of people in Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 22. And in verse number 3, he gave them his credentials. We might say this was his degree hanging up on the wall. He let them know who he was, how he was raised, what he knew about the law. He said in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3, he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a great Jewish teacher at that time, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Now, he tells them about his upbringing. He tells them about his education, that he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law. Paul was an expert in the law and matters relating to the law. And so we see that's how he begins to make his case in Acts chapter number 22. In Acts chapter number 23, or in Acts chapter number 22, we find out that Paul is also a Roman citizen. And so he asks to be treated as a Roman citizen. And Roman citizens had special privileges in those days. He wasn't a foreigner. He wasn't just passing through. He was an actual citizen. And so he makes an appeal to the law. And in Acts chapter number 23, we find that Paul is brought before the Sanhedrin, and he makes his case. That's the Jewish 70 elders, and they were sort of what we might think of as being the Supreme Court. They were over carrying out the law and making decisions for the Jewish people. And we see him before the Sanhedrin, and before the Sanhedrin, the Apostle Paul rebuked the high priest. Now, he didn't know that that was the high priest, and he called him a whited wall, which was like saying you're a big hypocrite. And he didn't know that was the high priest, and he apologized for that. But if you study in Acts chapter number 23, and the reason that he rebuked the high priest is because the high priest had commanded him to be smitten or stricken, and that was contrary to the law. And he said in verse 3, Acts chapter 23, verse 3, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And so the high priest told somebody, evidently, slap him, hit him, smite him, strike him. And Paul knew that under the law, that was contrary to the law. So the Apostle Paul used his knowledge of the law to his advantage. And so when Paul is writing to the Romans, and he says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, he's not referring to if the high priest says slap you, then that's all right. That's not what he did. He appealed to the law. He said, what you have done is contrary to the law. We might could see the Apostle Paul in his mind, boy, I wish people that were supposedly representing the law would actually obey the law, would actually be subject unto the law. See, the high priest wasn't doing that. So it would be to Paul's advantage for every soul, whether it's the Sanhedrin, whether it's the high priest, it would be to Paul's advantage for every soul to be subject unto the higher powers. That is a reference to the laws of the land that are in agreement with the laws of God. Then we see in Acts chapter number 24, we go right along in these chapters, we see that Paul, he goes from being before a multitude, then he makes his case before the Sanhedrin, then he is brought before Felix. Now, Felix in the Bible was the Gentile Roman ruler that was over the Jews in Jerusalem. So we see that there's a progression here. He goes from one to the other, and before each and every one of these, he makes his case under the law. He continually appeals to the law of the land. It is to everybody's advantage that the laws of the land be obeyed. And we'll point that out. But in Acts chapter number 24, what we actually have is a courtroom scene. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but as I was reading and studying over this, there are several words in there that we would find even today used in the courtroom. For example, the words accuse, clemency, judged, law, accusers, examining. He said, assented, saying to these things that they were so. And so there were witnesses that stood by and testified, and they said, that's right. These things they're saying are right. We find that Paul uses the phrase, answer for myself. What that means is, in Acts chapter number 24, the Apostle Paul was his own lawyer. He represented his own case before Felix. We find the words prove, confess, exercise myself. He was talking about that he had the right to do this under the law. And then we find that he said that if mine accusers, if they don't agree, they need to come down here and they need to object. You find that in a courtroom. I object. He said, where are they at? They should have come down here and they should object to what I'm saying. Then after the Apostle Paul made his defense before Felix, Felix called for more witnesses. He said, Lysias, the chief captain, he was talking about him. He said, we're going to call him. I'm going to see what he has to say. Lysias, however you say that, the chief captain, he was the arresting officer. If you had somebody in court today, the arresting officer or the officer that gave the ticket is supposed to be there as well. So they want to hear what he has to say as well. And so what you have in Acts chapter number 24 is a courtroom scene. Then they said, well, we're going to call Lysias. We're going to get him down here, see what he has to say about it. Then they adjourned. And if you read the whole chapter, you find that that went on for 2 solid years. Acts chapter 24 and verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. That went on for 2 years. The main reason that this went on for 2 years, it sort of sounds like our court system. When things are drug out and it takes years and years and years. Well, the reason this went on for 2 years is found in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, talking about Felix. And as he, let's see, verse number 26, or verse number 25, he told him, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So he adjourned the case, and he said, when we have an opportunity, we'll get back together. But verse 26 gives the reason why it went on for 2 years. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. Felix was a crooked character, and what he really wanted out of the thing, he wanted to make some money out of it. And so he left Paul in prison for 2 years. That was the long delay. Now, I say all that to say this. It would have been in Paul's interest, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. When Felix here is looking for a bribe, when he's looking for money, that he's not being subject unto the higher powers. Paul, as a Roman citizen, should not have been treated that way. And so it is to Paul's advantage that everybody, the high priest, Felix, the governor of the land, he should have been subject unto the higher powers. Next, we find Paul before Festus. Festus was a friend of Felix, also a Roman. And he comes down, and Felix says, I got this interesting case, this Jewish fellow. I'd like you to hear what he has to say. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 25, verse number 8, talking about the Apostle Paul, while he answered for himself. Here, Paul again, he makes his case. He represents himself. And he said, while he answered for himself, and this is what he said, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Paul knew that he had broken no law. He was an innocent man and should have been set free. And so he thinks, boy, here I'm finally going to get my day in court. Felix has asked Festus to come and hear my case. Maybe now I'll be able to get somewhere. Can you hear the Apostle Paul saying, oh, if only every soul would be subject unto the higher powers, if this man will listen and just decide, have I broken the law or not? And that was Paul's case. And you can read about it here in the book of Acts. But he said, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. He had not broken a Jewish law, a temple law, or a Gentile law, a law against Caesar. None of these things. Paul continually appealed to the law of the land. That is why Paul says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, if everybody would just obey the law. But we read on down in verse number 9, it says, but Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure. And so Festus, he's involved in crooked politics. He sees that it would be to his political advantage to appease the Jews, and so he left the Apostle Paul in prison. And so Paul sees that he is going to get nowhere with Festus. And this is where Paul appeals unto Caesar. Caesar is the head of the Roman government. Paul says, I'm not going to get anywhere with the Sanhedrin. I'm not going to get a fair case with Felix or with Festus. I just want to go to the highest court of the land. And he made an appeal as a Roman citizen to be sent unto Caesar. He is trying what the Apostle Paul is trying to do. He's trying to find someone who will just hear his case and obey the law. And I don't have time to go into it today, but it's just a very interesting study. If you like this kind of thing, he makes the same appeal before Agrippa. And Agrippa says, he says, if he had not appealed unto Caesar, I would let him go free. What Agrippa was saying is, he's not broken the law. I don't have any reason to keep him. See, Paul is making the case, not let every soul be subject unto Felix, Festus, Agrippa. But Paul is making the case, just give me somebody that'll obey the law. That's a benefit to everybody. And so Agrippa would have let him go free, but Paul had made an appeal to go unto Caesar. Had the higher powers been followed, Paul would have been set free at the very beginning. And Festus would have set him free, and Felix would have set him free, and Agrippa would have set him free, and Caesar himself would have set him free if every soul had been subject unto the higher powers. Now, we say all that to say this. There is an application for us today. We in America, and that is where this radio broadcast is heard, we are to be subject unto the higher powers. That is not talking about a person. That's not saying whatever the president says, that's okay. It's not saying whatever the sheriff says, that's okay. Whatever the congressman says, that's okay. Whatever the judge says, that makes it the law. No, sir. Here's what the higher powers are in America. It's the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution, Article Number 6. It says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. And that ought to be underlined and explained to somebody. When it says the laws made in pursuance thereof, it means following. Meaning talking about following the Constitution in line with the main design of the Constitution. What I'm saying is this, an unconstitutional law is not a law. All laws in America are to be made in pursuance of the United States Constitution. That is the higher powers. That is the law of the land. Well, it goes on down. It said, laws which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding, if they are contrary to the Constitution, they are not a law. The Constitution is the law of the land. The Constitution is the higher powers. And so when the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, how does that apply to me today? That means I'm to obey the supreme law of the land. I'm to obey the Constitution. And if I'm going to be a good citizen, that's what I'm going to follow. That's what you should follow. That's what we should be concerned with. Because we're not commanded to obey the president. We're not commanded to obey the Supreme Court. We're commanded to obey the Constitution. Do you know that every elected official, from the president, the Supreme Court judges, the congressmen, the senators, the county clerk, the register of deeds, the sheriff, the police chief, the fireman, all military members, anybody that real civil servants, anybody that has anything to do with our government is supposed to take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. What are they all saying? They're all saying we are going to serve and be in subjection to the Constitution. But somebody said one time that they begin to break that as soon as they put their hand down. And so we live in a land today where the Constitution is swept under the rug, forgotten about, where they say, oh, the Constitution is a living document, and we'll just make it mean what we want it to mean. No, sir. No, sir, that doesn't fly. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And so we ask the question today, if our leaders can break the law at will, if they can pass laws, if they can pass executive orders, if they can do things that are subversive to or contrary to the Constitution at will and get away with it, what good is it? What good is it after you've broken and broken and broken? It comes to a point where we're not even a country that is ruled by law anymore. We are a country that is ruled not by the law of the land, but the law of whoever is president at the time, whoever is Speaker of the House at the time, whoever is the Supreme Court judges at the time. They're the ones making the law. This is contrary to the United States Constitution. And we're no longer a nation of laws, but we are a nation of men, and we are ruled over by people who are law breakers. They have broken their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. They're oath breakers. They're actually criminal in their actions and in their laws if they do not uphold and defend the Constitution. That is not good for anybody. That is not good for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We'd be far better off to have those in office who will be subject unto the higher powers. So what is Paul talking about in Romans chapter 13, verse number 1? Let every soul, you ought to find your Bible and you ought to underline, every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let every soul obey the law of the land. Let every soul obey the law of God. That is good for everybody. But when people come along and they're just making laws according to whims, according to the way the political wind is blowing at a certain time, we're in trouble as a nation. So to be a model citizen, you ought to be somebody that's concerned about upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States. That's who I'd like to see elected into any office, somebody that'll take their oath seriously. All right, our time is quickly come and gone today. I do appreciate you listening in. We'll continue on next week, Lord willing, with this subject, what I can do for my country. Noah is going to come and give the contact information. I hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
All right, this has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number, and that is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.